Thank you. Hare Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yashoda Nandana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yashoda Nandana Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jai Radha Madhava Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Yashoda Nandana Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Natiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So we'd like to welcome all the devotees for this Sunday Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13. Chapter is entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. And we are reading today text number 5. So we will recite the verse first. Pratyu jagmo praharshena pranam tanva ivagatam abhi sangamya vidivat parishvanga bhivadane Pratyu jagmo praharshena pranam tanva ivagatam abhi sangamya vidivat परिश्वान अभागिवादिने प्रत्युजग्मो प्रहर्षेण प्राणं तन्व इवागतम् अभिसंगम्य विधिवत् परिश्वंग अभिवादने प्रत्युजग्मा प्रहर्षेण प्रत्यक्षमो प्रहर्षेण Matajis? Pratyujagmo praharshena Anantana Vibhagatam Abhisangyam Vibhagatam Parishvanga Abhivadane. Word to word meaning Prati to words Ujgamohu went praharshena with great delight pranam life tanavaha of the body eva like agatam returned abhi sangamya approaching vidhivat in due form pari Swanga, embracing, Abhivadane, by obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So, translation. With great delight, they all approached Him as if life had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. So before we go to the purport, basically we are reading is after the battle of Kurukshetra, Vidurji went for a pilgrimage and he just returns back to the palace. So this is the verse where in the previous verses we read how all the palace people who were there, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Draupadi, Subhadra and Dhritarashtra all received. So that's what this verse is. With great delight, they all approached him as if life had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. So this is the welcoming of Vidurji in back to the kingdom. Purport. In the absence of consciousness, the limbs of the body remain inactive. But when the consciousness returns, the limbs and senses become active and existence itself becomes delightful. Vidurji was so dear to the members of the Kaurav family that his long absence from the palace was comparable to inactivity. All of them were feeling acute separation from Vidur, and therefore his return to the palace was joyful for all. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Kurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrachatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Langayate Girim, Yad Kripatamaham Vande, Shri Guru Dinatarinam. Hare Krishna. So seeking the blessings of all the devotees, especially the senior devotees who are sitting here, so that I can speak something for my purification on this most beautiful subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are here in this chapter 13 where Dhritarashtra is going to quit his home, very, very attached, as we know, from Mahabharata. And here in this particular section which we are reading today, our Vidurji is returning back home after his pilgrimage, and after he was offended by Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra, he had left the palace, did not participate in the historic Mahabharata war, and after his pilgrimage he is back, and with great happiness, great delight, they are all worshipping, they are receiving a great Vaishnav like Sri Vidurji. And this is that beautiful verse which says that it was as if they had regained life. Prabhupada explains that when there is no consciousness, the body is like still. So similarly, since Vidurji was absent for a long, long time, it was as if everything was still. And just by his coming, revived their whole lives. So that is the power of a great Vaishnava's appearance in our lives. It revives our lives back. And that is the greatest wealth which we have received by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, is this wonderful association of the Vaishnavas, which is mentioned in the scriptures that the association of the Vaishnavas or the Vaishnav Sangha is Krishna's greatest treasure. We all have our treasures. We have all our treasures, or in banks, or wherever we have our accounts, or in wherever we want to keep it. But what is Krishna's treasure? Krishna's treasure is his pure devotees. So that is our great fortune, that we have the association of the so many wonderful Vaishnavas who are, in one sense, the most elevated of the human beings on the planet, the billions of human beings on the planet. And of course, if we see the living entities, unlimited number of living entities, and to be in association of the great personalities who are on the path to spiritual perfection, and to have their association is the greatest fortune. And this is how these great personalities in the palace, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjun, the Pandavas, the Kunti Maharani, and we were reading the last two days, who were all present, Dhritarashtra, Draupadi, Subhadra, all of them were welcoming a great soul, Mahatma. So serving, in one sense, our sambandh to Radha Gopinath or to Krishna is through our spiritual masters. And our sambandh to our spiritual master is through our Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada would often say that when he would interact with his disciples, he would many times say that, I see you all as representatives of my spiritual masters. So that's how Prabhupada would see, and that's what he taught us, to see every Vaishnava as a representative of the spiritual master. And one of the beautiful stories from the South India of Manwal Mahamuni. So one time, one of the devotees, it's mentioned, from North India, came to meet him, and he asked him that, my dear Swamiji, can you tell me a sure shot formula to go to Vaikuntha? So who would like to know the sure shot formula to Vaikuntha? So this was the question that was asked. So he said, okay, the sure shot formula to go to Vaikuntha is, the secret is, he says, devotion to Sri Hari, not enough. Right? He thought, devotion to Sri Hari is the answer. We said, oh, that's not enough. Okay, then he said, devotion to Sri Hari, not enough. Then he said, sure shot formula to Vaikuntha is attraction for the pastimes and glories of the Lord. But that's not enough. What to do now? To be born in a Vaishnava family, not enough. But to be born in a holy dham and staying there and serving there, he said, no. So then what is the sure shot formula? Now this devotee is excited. Bhai, kya karna kya hai? Devotion to Hari is not the formula. Attraction to the pastimes is not. So what do we do? So Mahamuni ji explains that all the above is not enough if no desire to serve the Vaishnavas is there. So that, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saru Thakur would also say, that the Yuga Dharma is Vaishnav Seva. If we are in the association, we will be able to chant the holy names. So that is, like in mathematics they have this condition. Compulsory condition and something like that. I forgot those mathematical formulas, but they are sufficient and necessary and sufficient condition. So some condition that's necessary, but when we add this Vaishnav Seva, it becomes necessary and sufficient condition to go back to the spiritual world. And Manwal Mahamuni goes on to say that anyone who says that without Vaishnav Seva one can go back to Godhead is actually like a prostitute speaking about pativrata dharma. So that's too contradictory. So that was the emphasis which he was giving. And we have this great personality here, Srila Vidurji, born of Srila Vyasadev. And he is known for his wisdom in the Mahabharata and his true friendship with Dhritarashtra. And it is explained he was in wisdom in Mahabharata second only after Krishna. So the Pandavas would approach, of course, Krishna, and sometimes they would approach Vidurji. That was the caliber of wisdom. And we all know that famous Vidur Niti. All the instructions, all the conversations which the moral instructions which Vidurji gave to Dhritarashtra, they were recorded, and that is called as the Vidur Niti, which is in one sense a precursor to Chanakya Niti also. So therefore, Vidurji was very, very important role in Mahabharat, and he was constantly advising Dhritarashtra. Of course, unfortunate on part of Dhritarashtra that he was rejecting advice every time Vidurji gave. But Vidurji never gave up on Dhritarashtra. That was the greatness of Vidurji. That was his affection for Dhritarashtra. It was not that Vidurji was attached to the kingdom or palace or to Dhritarashtra. So that's the subtle difference between attachment and affection. Attachment is when you are attached to a person for one's own benefit and you cannot confront and you just want to see him apparently happy and don't confront that person. But Vidurji was associating with Dhritarashtra not for his sake, nor for the palace or the facilities, but out of deep, genuine affection for Dhritarashtra. And when required, he did chastise heavily on numerous occasions to Dhritarashtra. So that is Vidurji's real friendship. So I think that's, you have that friendship day. So this friendship of Dhritarashtra and Vidur, especially Vidurji's friendship, should be the hallmark. We should wear that friendship band. We should have Vidura band, actually. That is the real friendship, that we should be able to have such good friendship. It's a great fortune to have such dear friend who can just tell you on your face that this is, my dear Prabhu, this is where you are going wrong. And it is upon us not to create an aura or a wall that nobody can even just Haribol, Haribol friends. That, but when we are in some doing something wrong and people are not even able to approach us. So that was Sri Vidurji, the best of the friends, the most affectionate friends of Dhritarashtra. And of course, as we were hearing in the last few classes, how Vidurji is actually is Yamaraj, Dharmaraj in his past life, and who got cursed by Mandavya Muni, who thought in one of his interactions where Mandavya Muni was performing his bhajan and sadhana, and some thieves came. Long story, I'll just briefly narrate how some thieves came and they hid something, and the king's people arrested Mandavya Muni also, and he was about to be punished, sentenced to death was pronounced. And finally the king came to know, and king brought him back, and Mandavya Muni was thinking, this is too much. So he, instead of going to the king, Mandavya Muni is a great saint, so he thought, let's just go to the root cause. So he directly goes to Yamaraj. At least he didn't go to the king, why are you doing this to me? He just goes to Yamaraj. Sir, my request, what is this punishment I was being offered? Seems disproportionate. I haven't done any sin, what I remember in this life. Of course, Yamaraj explains, when he was small, he was playing with ants and piercing them. So you had to go close to death because of that. And of course, Mandavya Muni was not satisfied with his... He was thinking, this is quite disproportionate to what I did, which was when I was not even knowing what is dharma. And then he curses Yamaraj, that, my dear Yamaraj, this is disproportionate punishment. I punish you, punishing the Yamaraj, who is the god of punishment. He was punished, of course. The divine curse to great personalities, there is a plan behind always. So then he punished that, you will live among those whom you judge. In the Mrityaloka, where all these living beings or human beings are there, you will go and live among them, and not a very respectable birth. So he was born to Sri Vyasadev in the womb of a maid servant. And that's why, of course, we know Yamaraj is no ordinary personality. He is one of the 12 Mahajans, the leaders, the proponents of the message of Bhagavat Dharma. So Vidura, when he appeared in that, he carried that wisdom from his Yamaraj post, whatever wisdom he had because of his great qualification, that post which he had. And of course, when... And Yamaraj also had that desire that he wanted to preach, and with his duties as Yamaraj, he was very, very busy most of the time. So, and I'm sure Kali Yuga must be more busy. So, too many people, too many unique types of karmas, people do reactions, people do. So he must have to do some special. I was just recently hearing one, I don't know, this is Loka Katha sort of thing, a very important Katha. Somehow I remembered this because of our dear Yamaraji's unique work in Kali Yuga, special work he had to do. There was a king who was a friend of Yamaraj. So he was, and he would perform his Shraddha and worshipping the Pitras, and Yamaraj would personally carry to his Pitras. That was the close friendship they had. But somehow this king had certain things that he would sometimes make fun also of the Brahmanas. So that's the risky part, that he was treading on a dangerous path. So one time when he had invited them for prasad, so after prasad he would offer the tambur, the paan, and instead of supari, he put goat stool in that. So that's a heavy thing. He didn't know what he's doing, getting into. So then he did that, made fun of them, and the Brahmanas left dissatisfied. And later on, he did realize that something wrong I have done, probably. It's a grave offense. And he approaches his friend Yamaraj. So he said, I just want to have a tour of the hellish planets. So since you are my friend, you can just show me around. Like, friends usually same department, so they get some privileges. So it's there everywhere. So he said, okay, you are my friend, I'll just take you to the hellish planet, just a tour. So he shows all those which we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kumbhi Park and all the different hells he's shown. And later on in one corner, he sees two big piles of goat stool being arranged and being collected. So he was curious, what is happening? What is this? I'd never read in Bhagavatam or other literatures about this type of a hell where this goat stool is kept. So he said, Yamaraj said, he quietly said, what to do? Different people doing unique things. So we have to come up with some new punishment now. This is for you because you were offered that goat stool to the Brahmanas and such did great disservice. So this is for you. So then he was terrified. Baap re, ye kya? It's, I will have to eat this when I come to hell. So then he, dosti hai bhaiya, thoda dosti ka vada dekar, can you please help? Can you guide? So Yamaraj very quietly goes and tells in his ears something. So that's the secret. And then he goes and he comes back, the king. And he had a farmhouse, so he keeps his daughter there in the farmhouse. And he started visiting that every day in the night and morning go back. And as the nature of this world is, without knowing proper facts, people start spreading rumors. So the rumors start spreading that king is going, his daughter in the guest house, and he's going every day in the night and coming back in the morning. And so finally, one of the days, that Brahmana whom this king had fed that goat stool, he comes back. He had gone to Kashi for some his rituals and for some invitation. He comes back. And then his wife, naturally, when a husband comes back after long, the wife wants to tell what's happening around. It's natural. So she wanted to tell, oh, I want to tell you something about the king. So this person, this Brahmana, he could sense it. He had that sixth sense. He said, no, I don't want to hear. He said, no, please hear. No, he said, no, I don't want to hear what you want to say. He said, no, I want to tell. There's something happening with our king. You should hear. So then she finally just speaks it out. She says, what was happening is there is this guest house, you know, our farmhouse of our king, and he's kept his daughter and he's going every day in the night and all that rumor thing she was telling. And then this Brahmana understood that. And then, of course, the Yamaraj explains to what the Yamaraj had told the king was that you can be saved and I will transfer the sin of eating that goat stool to those people who gossip without having the full picture of the situation. And so this Brahmana was thinking, Arey, you don't know the real picture and you're telling me, and I became a partaking and then I'll have to be also. So Brahmana was intelligent. He knew that somehow. So that's what. So that's a beautiful story I remembered from Yamaraj, that how careful one should be about spreading rumors and forwarding unverified WhatsApp messages. There is a lot of goat stool must be being collected by Yamaraj nowadays. I'm sure a lot of special arrangements are being made for these special unverified WhatsApp forward messages. So we should be very careful what we pass on. So here, coming back to our worshipable Vidurji, who appeared as the son of Vyasadeva and found this preaching opportunity, and Bhishma Dev personally trained Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Bhishma Dev. And when Satyavati Mataji asked, so how is their training? So Bhishma Dev did mention that the Pandu, best in his military prowess, Dhritarashtra, powerful strength, but this Vidur is most qualified in his wisdom. And but since he is not directly born in a royal lineage, so he is not entitled to be a king. And then actually at that time it is explained in Mahabharata that Vidurji made the point that Dhritarashtra, since being blind, should not be made the king. So Vidurji always have been the well-wisher of Dhritarashtra. He knew what is the best. So that's how Panduji was appointed as the king, and Vidurji was the part of the council of ministers, the prime minister, the main personality who would guide. And of course, later on when our Pandu retires, then Dhritarashtra was appointed the king, and practically Vidurji was constantly guiding. So in one sense, actually it was Vidurji who was ruling the kingdom. Of course, till the time Duryodhana grew big, and then his nefarious plans and ideas and to capture the kingdom. So then Vidurji took a back seat. So but till then, and Duryodhana just started to manipulate Dhritarashtra's attachment for him. So that was Dhritarashtra's weakness, his attachment for his wicked son Duryodhana. Actually, Vidurji had warned just by seeing the bad omens present when Duryodhana was born, that just give away your son. This is going to cause a lot of trouble. So he could sense it, he could guess it, but it's not easy, the attachment. And Vidurji have always been natural affectionate towards Pandava. Of course, he was always looking for the welfare of the whole kingdom, but he had special affection for Pandavas because of their being righteous. And another reason that Yudhishthira is also the son of Dharma. So in one sense, Vidurji is expansion and he is the son. So there was a close bonding anyways there. But more so because of their being on the righteous path, Vidurji was always supporting the Pandavas. And even when that Varnavart incident happened, that house of lack which Duryodhana had planned to burn the Pandavas along with Mother Kunti, Vidurji, along with the help of his spies, he could figure out that there is something wrong here. And then he, while they were going, he, in a very like form of a riddle or in a form of a language which nobody could understand, he sent a message that to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that said, one who knows there are ways to kill without the weapons will be protected. And one who knows that the forest fire that burns all the animals will not burn the snakes that go underground. And one who controls the senses will ultimately attain prosperity. So these are the cryptic message, the words are encrypted messages. WhatsApp has that option. Encrypt, nobody can decipher. So this was Vidurji's encrypted message for Maharaj Yudhishthir, and only he could understand. Because Vidurji was aware that definitely Duryodhana's spies would be around and they may be able to understand, and then the whole plan could get spoiled. So then, of course, later on Vidurji even sent a messenger to the Varnavrat with the same message, that same three lines which we were reading, the same message, so they could understand that he's the same person, Vidurji Kai Admi. And then he helped them to dig a tunnel in that palace. And same time, Duryodhan had sent Purochan to let fire to that black palace. So that, of course, Pandavas themselves lit the fire, and then they escaped through that tunnel. And after that, also Vidurji had his person there with the same message, so that the Pandavas could trust and he could take them across. And then later on, Vidurji and of course Dhritarashtra also welcomes the Pandavas back. And then after that also, when the gambling match was there, Dhritarashtra actually sent Vidurji that you go and invite Yudhishthira Maharaj. They won't say no to you. And of course, seeing the face of Vidurji, he was pained. Vidurji could foresee that there were two gambling matches. So Vidurji could see that this gambling match is going to create havoc. But still, as a duty, he went for that. And of course, Yudhishthirji could understand seeing the face of Vidurji. And then Vidurji gives advice to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he even advised after coming back to Dhritarashtra about the ill effects of gambling. And then it is Duryodhan. He is like an evil person who is actually dealing with the five Pandavas, who will be like a snake under the cloth. At the right time, he will be devoured. But Dhritarashtra, because of his attachment for Duryodhana, stayed quiet. And later on, when they were exiled, Kunti Maharani was... Vidurji requested Kunti Maharani that you are now too old to travel to the forest. And she stayed back in the house of Vidurji for those 13 years. And Vidurji's good wife, Sulabha, whom Bhishmadev had that arranged that marriage from the Yadav kul, she took very nice care of Kunti Maharani, consoled her, and took really good care on those 13 years, because Kunti Maharani was feeling deep pain in seeing the condition of her children. And her husband had left, and so it was a great difficult time for her. And even when the Pandavas were in exile, one time even Dhritarashtra actually had sent Vidurji also. But then later on, he sent Sanjay to call back, and Vidurji, having compassion on Dhritarashtra and having that hope that someday Dhritarashtra may change. So that hope of the Vaishnavas, that hope that Srila Prabhupada carried when he went some 57 years ago on yesterday, 13th of August, with the Srimad Bhagavatam, that he had that hope that these people who were covered with the modes of passion and ignorance can be transformed. So that hope of Vidurji, that hope of Srila Prabhupada and our Acharyas is our good fortune. And he actually came back, Vidurji came back to again give guidance to Dhritarashtra. And of course, when that most heinous crime of disrobing Draupadi happened, Vidurji was very heavily chastising Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, and he was telling, "This is, we are digging our own grave, But of course, Duryodhan insulted Vidurji that time. Of course, that time Dhritarashtra came to protect Vidurji, and he told that, why are you disrespecting a great counselor, a prime minister? And of course, Vidurji at that time felt that Dhritarashtra did not acknowledge his relationship. He never said that, why are you disrespecting your uncle? He was just officially saying, why are you disrespecting a counselor in front of all and the minister? But so that time Vidurji realized, now probably is the time I should move on. And of course, just before the war, when Krishna came as Shanti Dut, you know that famous episode, Rukha Shaka Vidura Garakayu, that Duryodhan, the evil-minded Duryodhan, arranged a lavish feast, the Chappan Bhog, or maybe more, the parathas and kachoris and samosas and one of the best of preparations available in, I'm sure, must be lassi from north, so lassis and from Delhi, special menus of Delhi were there for Krishna. But Krishna is not hungry. He's hungry for love. He's not hungry for the parathas or the samosas or the kachoris tainted with corrupt minds. He's hungry for love. And he goes to the house of Vidurji. And that's where he stayed that night, of Vidurji's palace. And when he reached, when Krishna arrived in the palace of Vidurji, Vidurani, Sulabha Mata was alone, and she was not prepared, because everyone knew that Krishna is going for prasad at Duryodhana's palace. So she wasn't prepared, and in her divine ecstatic emotions and tears of gratitude that the Supreme Lord has come to our house, she was so overwhelmed and excited, and she actually, some places as we read Shuka, Rukha Sak, and some places say it's mentioned that she offered the banana peels. She was peeling the bananas and offering the peels to the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. And Krishna, with great love, was relishing the banana peels. That is the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna and his love for his devotees, that he was relishing the banana peels. Maybe one day we should try eating the banana leaves, then we'll know what it is. So the Krishna was honoring, and then Vidurji came, and then he came to know that this is what happened, and they both had tears in their eyes when they saw that a pile of bananas are there. Vidurji, and of course, that became the Mahaprasad. I don't know, it's not mentioned whether they honored that, but that was the Mahaprasad of Krishna, those bananas, the special bananas. And of course, Vidurji was very heartbroken, and he was trying to somehow convince Krishna that please do not go to that assembly of wicked Duryodhan. He is definitely going to insult you. Vidura's heart was getting pain. He didn't want to see Krishna being insulted. So that's the heart of a Vaishnava. He doesn't want to see Krishna being insulted or being criticized. Of course, Krishna later on convinced that, I want to show to the world that the Pandavas did everything in their power to avoid the war. And when it was absolutely inevitable, that's when the Pandavas went to fight. And finally, when the last thing, when the war was about to begin, Vidura was again trying to convince Dhritarashtra to give up on Duryodhan. And that time Duryodhan became really angry, and he started to criticize Vidurji, and the son of a kept maid servant, and what right do you have to give us advice, and in this way. And this time Dhritarashtra did not stop Vidurji, and Duryodhana asked Vidurji to leave the palace immediately with just the breath which you have. And Vidurji, just in great anguish, he just kept his bow outside the palace and left. And That's the glory of Sri Vidurji, that in this great difficult times, he went for a pilgrimage to enrich himself more, to devote more time to Krishna consciousness. So that is Vidurji's teaching through his life, how not just to go through adversity, but grow in adversity. It was a great challenging time. He was asked to leave with just his breath. So there's nothing which he had, and he left everything. And in the pilgrimage to different holy dhams, he met saintly Udhavji and Maitreya Rishi, and had the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the wonderful conversations which they have about Krishna. And Udhavji tells to Vidurji that actually when Krishna was leaving, he was actually remembering you, he was asking for you. So that is the glory of Vidurji. Antakale mavem svaranamuktva kalevam. That we should all remember Krishna at the time of death. That's our goal. And here is Krishna remembering and asking about Vidurji when he is leaving this planet to go back to the spiritual world. So that is the glory of Sri Vidurji, the tireless friend who is always looking for the well-being of the Dhritarashtra and all humanity. So that Vidurji is being welcomed here in this verse which we are reading. And now we will read, we saw such wonderful qualities of Vidurji and his glories. And as we all know, all these qualities are unlimitedly present in the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So yesterday or day before yesterday was Sri Balaram Jayanti, and the coming week is Sri Krishna Janmashtami. So continuing with the theme of these wonderful qualities of Sri Vidurji, we will now go to the source of all the wonderful qualities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is the reservoir of all unlimited qualities. So in the next half an hour which we have, we will try to describe or briefly read through the 64 qualities of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Of course, Krishna has unlimited qualities, and it is not that there are only 64 qualities which Krishna has. And as the Acharyas explain, one of the Kavis explains that if we have all the oceans which are there on this planet, we make an ink out of it and use that ink pen. Of course, many of the young people here will not know what an ink pen is. There used to be an ink pen. You know that? There used to be an ink pen. And I thought many of the young people, probably the, what do you call that, Gen Z people, would probably not know what an ink pen is. But that Kavi would describe that if we have that, all the oceans, take that, make it into an ink, put that ink in it, and flatten the earth, and write on that the Krishna's qualities and glories. So one of the two things will happen. So the surface of the earth, which is 510 million square kilometers, it's a lot of area on earth. So if you want to do that and write on it, so either the ink will can get used up, or there will be no space to write. And of course, for the younger generation, if we were to record all these glories and pastimes of Krishna, or write down, or have all the data operators write down Krishna's glory, then the entire servers of Google, which may be probably 10 to 15 million of terabytes of data, will get consumed and will have a low desk space after some time. So that is the amount of Krishna's glories which are there. So 15 million or whatever, 20 million terabytes of data. So what can we describe about Krishna's glories? Just for our own purification, and I am not so qualified, so those who are exalted personalities can describe each quality unlimitedly. So we are just going to run through the 64 qualities, but Jai Shri Radha, Gopila, Devaki. But those great exalted personalities can delve into each and every quality, and we can have 64 billion classes on 64 qualities. 1 billion classes or even more for one quality of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And when we hear these qualities, it fills our heart with great transcendental pleasure, and it increases our desire to serve the Supreme Lord. When we know, wow, Krishna has all these wonderful qualities, he's so grateful, he's so beautiful, he's so magnanimous, all these qualities, then we want to serve the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is very, very essential that we hear about these qualities of the Supreme Lord, as we know from the episode of Sri Rukmini Devi. She would hear these qualities of Krishna and develop such deep attachment towards Krishna. So this is the process. By hearing the qualities of the Supreme Lord, we can develop deep attachment. And all the qualities which we see in any living entity is actually but a fraction of the particle of the quality which is there in unlimited amount in Krishna for eternity. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Srila Rupa Goswami Pad describes that the exalted personalities who have received Krishna's mercy, like Vidurji, can exhibit these wonderful qualities, around 50 of them. That is, Rupa Goswami Pad explains to these great personalities like Vidurji, they can exhibit these qualities in a minute quantity. So, coming to the first quality of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the first quality is described as Suramyanga, that Krishna has most beautiful bodily features. All of us get attracted to most beautiful people in this world. But if we really want to see the most beautiful personality in the entire universe, whom even the demigods or even the whatever, even Mahavishnu himself gets attracted. Even Lakshmi Devi gets attracted to the beauty of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So that is the beauty of the Supreme Lord. This beauty, there is no comparison in one sense. Devotee Bhushan gives this reference that the queens had been kidnapped, and so later on when Krishna delivers them and Krishna meets them, they were begging forgiveness from the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And Krishna was asking, "Abhi toh pehli baar toh hum mil rahe hain, why are you asking forgiveness from us?" And they says that actually when we were talking amongst themselves, we had heard about you, we were hearing about your beauty, and we were comparing your beauty to the objects of this world. And so, but when we saw you now, it is incomparable. We were committing an offense in one sense by comparing with you with any beautiful thing of this world. So please, but Srila Rupa Goswami still gives certain analogies to understand the beauty of the Supreme Lord. It is described that the pleasing radiance and the aura which is emanating from the lotus face of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, it is like the soft radiance coming from the autumn moon. When you look at the autumn season, the moon, very, very pleasing. And that pleasing radiance is compared to the aura. Many times people have some of these aura readers. So if they can read Krishna's aura, that is actually the most beautiful aura. It is like the effulgent, soothing, cooling rays which are coming. And those then rays which are emanating from the lotus face of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, those nectarian rays are actually drunk by all the devotees of the Supreme Lord, by the cups of their eyes. And that is the just the aura of Krishna's beauty. And the gopis mention in the Venu Geet that for one who has eyes, the perfection of the eyes is to see the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna most beautifully dressed and entering the forest of Vrindavan. Krishna's body displays the quintessence of design perfection. Some people in this world, of course, as I mentioned again, we have to remind that no personality can compare in this world of Krishna's beauty. But just for reference, some people may have the most beautiful nose, some may have the beautiful eyes, some may have beautiful lips, some may have the most beautiful hair. But Krishna's body, absolute stunning beauty in every limb to its perfection possible. You can imagine when, if Krishna can create such a beautiful creation, Himself, why wouldn't He be so beautiful? So Krishna's had beautiful reddish palms, and there is a beautiful fragrance which would come from Krishna's body. He doesn't have to use a deodorant. There's no need of cosmetic industry in the spiritual world. The natural cosmetics, the fragrance bodies of the gopis and the prajapasis, and even Krishna, anyone Krishna touches gets a beautiful and fragrant body. We know the example of Putana Devi. She was killed, and when she was burned, such fragrance was emanating from her burnt body also. And Krishna's beautiful bluish complexion compared to a beautiful blue sapphire or a blue lotus. I think most of us don't have access to either. So, I don't know, how do we understand either a blue sapphire or a blue lotus flower? But that's how the scriptures describe. And he's wearing wonderful yellow garments with forest flowers and wonderful the pagri, the crown will have wonderful tilak, beautiful curly hairs, the best hairs in the entire cosmos. He is the best. Krishna has the best of the hairs. People spend so much money to get their hair curly and have so many things with the hairs. Krishna has the best hairs also. So the best of every limb, the best of the eyes, the best of the nose, the best of the arms, the best of the chest, the broad chest. Everything is the best, and the beautiful ornaments which Krishna would wear. Of course, the Bhagavatam describes that it is the ornaments that become beautified when Krishna wears them. It's not that when Krishna is wearing a pearl necklace or a flower garland, Krishna is looking. No, the ornaments become beautified. Bhushanam Bhushanangam. That the Krishna is the ornament of the ornaments. And especially Krishna has that very special kastub gem, which is the finest gems which Krishna wears. That is Krishna's favorite gem. Like people have some of their favorite necklaces and garlands, and the best of the whatever, the jewelers cannot make that whatever TBZ or whatever they have in this lane which we have. The best of the jewelers in Bombay, they cannot match. None of their creation can match the kastub jewel. And when Krishna would wear these wonderful ornaments, it will be like complete satisfaction to the heart just by seeing Krishna. And so that is the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. He is most beautiful at all times. And then the second quality which Srila Rupa Goswami mentions is that Krishna is sarva sal lakshana yukta. Meaning, he has most auspicious characteristics in his body. Like every culture has certain signs of, or whatever, physiognomy that, like some people have that, jiska ye matha bada hai, wo bada buddhiman hota hai, jiske haath bade hai, ya pair bade hai. In all cultures have that. But Krishna has the signs of physiognomy as mentioned in the scriptures. All the characteristics are manifest completely in his body. From any angle, any direction, Krishna's body manifests the most auspicious characteristics in his body. 7 of the parts of his Krishna's body radiate a beautiful reddish glow from his transcendental eyes, from his lips, from his tongue, from his palate, from his nails, and from his feet. A reddish hue is coming. Krishna doesn't need a lipstick to make his lips red. It's like the red like the bimba fruit. And the nails are also glowing of reddish. He doesn't need a nail polish or whatever you need. No. Krishna is a brand by himself. There's no brand which Krishna uses. Krishna, of course, as we were hearing 2 days back, that everything which Krishna uses is of one brand. That is Balram brand. Krishna is the brand ambassador of Balramji's brand. That's the only brand which Krishna uses. His dhoti is also of Balram brand. His uttariya is also Balram brand. His garlands are also of Balramji's brand. So that's, everyone likes their brand. So Krishna has his choice. Krishna's the brand ambassador for Sri Balramji. And Krishna, so 7 beautiful glow. And then Krishna has a very broad forehead, chest, and waist. 3 parts of Krishna's body are short. His neck, his thighs, and genitals. And 3 parts of Krishna's body are very, very deep. Krishna's voice, deep voice. Krishna's intelligence, and Krishna's navel. And 5 parts show Krishna's highness. Everybody wants to have a high nose. So Krishna's nose is high nose. Naak upar rehni chahiye. So Krishna has a naturally high nose. Naak sada upar rehti hai Bhagwan. Koi Bhagwan ki naak nahi kaat sakta. Krishna has a high nose. The highest nose, but the most beautiful. The fineness in his, the highness in his nose, in his ears, in his forehead, in his arms and thighs. And the fineness in his Krishna's skin. The fineness in Krishna's teeth, the most perfect teeth, or a Colgate smile, or whatever smile, the best smile, which the Krishna's teeth are the most exquisite, beautifully arranged, symmetrically arranged, the teeth of the Supreme Lord. And of course, his fingertips and hairs on his body and his hair on his head exhibit the fineness, and that is what the Krishna's body is. That and of course the various wonderful marks which are there on Krishna's lotus feet and hands, the mark of the chakra, the shatkon, the elephant gourd, the barley corn, and the beautiful, most auspicious marks are there in Krishna's hand and feet. The Krishna's mark on the feet are the wealth of this dharti, the earth, bhumi, especially Sri Braj Bhumi. So Krishna is most beautiful. He has the most auspicious characteristics, bodily features. And 3rd, Rupa Goswami explains, Krishna's is also very ruchir. Very, very pleasing. It's a snayan mahotsav. Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, the gopis relate that seeing Krishna is a festival for the eyes. So seeing Krishna is a festival for the eyes. It's actually a nayan mahotsav. Everything is just by seeing Krishna, one is completely, completely satisfied. That is Krishna's beauty. Krishna's beauty is not agitating, not revealing. It is most satisfying, most pleasing beauty. As it is explained in by the gopis, that just Krishna's beauty is so much that they just even miss seeing Krishna, the time of blinking of the eyes, which most of us, or probably none of us, even notice the time it takes to blink. Krishna is so beautiful, so pleasing to look at,
that the gopis are telling and criticizing Brahmaji, the greatest man, is the creator who has done such a phenomenal job. But somehow, I think all managers have to get some criticism from somewhere. So, I had got some message long back from WhatsApp, the old message, WhatsApp Purana, that if you want to please everyone, start an ice cream shop or sell or distribute ice creams. Anyway, the point is, Brahmaji did such a wonderful creation. The point here is, Krishna's beauty is so pleasing that even for a minutest miss, the blinking of the eyes, that's where they were saying that we are missing Krishna. So most of us even don't realize that the blinking of the eyes, and more so in the kathas. But then here, and of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, that's another interesting Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu says that, why does not the creator has given millions of eyes to one who is seeing Krishna? This is a nice proposal. At least someone who is seeing Krishna, give him millions of eyes. Baki sabko dene ki zarurat nahi, because anyways they are seeing which is not worth seeing. But someone who is seeing Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, in his eagerness to see the form of the Lord, he is praying that please give millions of eyes so that I can fully see the beautiful form of Sri Krishna. And many times we see the Krishna's beauty is compared to a lotus. And Nectar of Devotion describes that like a seeing a red lotus flower pleases the eyes and hearts of all men, whoever he is, whichever religion or whoever that person is. But when he sees a beautiful red lotus flower, he is completely satisfied. Similarly, seeing Krishna's body, which resembles a lotus flower, in 8 different places, Krishna's face, Mukharavinda, we say, Krishna's eyes, Padmanayan, Krishna's navel, Padmanabh, Krishna's hand, Kararavinda, and Krishna's feet. So anyone who sees them is completely, completely satisfied. That for this example of, this is given of the lotus flower. And as we read the beautiful form of the Vatapatrashai, which our dear Markandey Rishi saw, he beautifully explains that beautiful form. Kararavinde padaravindam mukharavinde viniveshayantam vatasya patrasya puteshayanam balam mukundam manasasmarani. This is Markandey Rishi. He was tormented by the pralaya, waters of pralaya. But when he saw this beautiful form, Kararavinde Padaravindam Mukharavinde Vineshayam, with his lotus-like hand, Krishna is holding his lotus feet and putting in his lotus mouth. When he saw this beautiful form, he was completely satisfied in the turmoil which was happening around him. And that's what the scriptures explain, that so much turmoil may be happening external around us, but when we take shelter of the Supreme Lord's beautiful form, when we come and take darshan of the beautiful form of Radha Gopinachi, we experience that complete satisfaction and bliss in our lives. Kunti Maharani also prays, Namaha Pankaja Nabhaya, Namaha Pankaja Maline, Namaha Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangre. So that's the beauty of Krishna's quality of Ruchira. And now we come to the fourth quality of Krishna, that is Tejas Sanvita. That is, Krishna is supremely effulgent. Krishna is, it is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that the jewels which Krishna where are self-illuminating. They don't need light. And especially the Kaustubh jewel is so beautiful and so illuminating that it is that even the sun's effulgence becomes, or you could say fika, becomes pale, huh? Pale in front of the effulgence coming from the Kaustubh jewel. But the transcendental effulgence which is emanating from Krishna's body even makes the effulgence coming from these Kaustubh jewel also become pale. So that is Krishna's effulgence. In one sense, enlightens the entire universe. The Brahma Jyoti is just effulgence, a part of the effulgence of Krishna's transcendental divine body. So that is Krishna and his most beautiful body. And we can all come by remembering his holy names, by remembering his beautiful qualities and form, we can be engulfed in that Krishna's effulgence and experience the great satisfaction. That is, and the fifth quality which we are reading about is Krishna's strength. The Krishna is Baliyan, the most powerful personality. Of course, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the strength of the strong comes from me. Any quality we see, the tej, any tej we see is actually a spark of the splendor coming from the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Even when Krishna appears as a child in Braj Bhumi, he exhibited so many leelas where he exhibited divine powers. You know, the famous pastime of Krishna lifting Shri Giriraj. How heavy that must be. Must be some, I don't know how the weightlifters and the most powerful people of this world can lift, how much, 250, 300 kg, that too for a fraction of second, for with such difficulty and pain, with such difficult facial expressions and yelling out and all, with sweating all over the body. And we read Anand Vrindavan Champu and Krishna book, when Krishna is lifting Shri Giriraj, which is maybe some lakhs of kgs, must be a lakhs of kgs or something, for not just 7 seconds, for 7 days, 7 nights, with his little finger. He didn't need to use his right hand also, just the left hand. Krishna is not a lefty, so of course Krishna is, he can do anything with his any limb, but he bol sakte hai, baaya hath ki honge, isliye left hand. No, Krishna wanted to tell Indra that this is what you are. That little finger, I can just lift it. And not that Krishna was sweating. The scriptures describe elaborate, wonderful 7-day festival that happened. Krishna was reciprocating with all the Brajabasis at the same time. That is Krishna in his strength in under Giriraj. Another beautiful episode which comes in the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada very beautifully explains that one of the demons who came, the big demon, was a giant bull. His name was Arisht. He came in with a gigantic body with his huge horns, and he was digging up the earth with his hooves, like usually the angry bulls do. They call it, many people we've seen. So when he entered Vrindavan, Krishna book describes, it was, the whole land was trembling. It was like an earthquake on Richter scale, whatever, 5, 6 or whatever. It was actually trembling. It was higher. Oh, Prabhuji is saying it was higher on the Richter scale, whatever, the earthquake. The people were, and he was really loudly roaring also. And it's explained that the many of the cows and even the ladies who were pregnant had miscarriages. And his was such huge, monstrous size that clouds were over his hump. That was his size. And everyone was fearful. It was so big and stout. And he was extremely angry with his reddish eyes. Not like the lotus which we're reading. It's like the copper red eyes with great anger. And all the men and Vrindavan and women of Vrindavan and the cows were afflicted with fear. The whole atmosphere was fear. But they approached Krishna, Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. And Krishna, please help us. Krishna, help us. And Krishna says, don't be afraid. I'll take care. He appeared before Aristasura and chastised him. What do you think? You, the lowest of all the creatures? Why are you frightening the inhabitants of Gokul? You want to fight with me? Come in front of me. I will challenge you. You want to challenge me? Let me just come in right in front of you. And the bull, he became, Arishtha again, more angry. And he proceeded towards Krishna with great anger, like with his hooves, he was digging the earth and taking that momentum or inertia. And with his horns right pointing towards Krishna with great speed possible, he was like a bullet running towards a person. And with his tail raised and with his loud sounds he was making, but Krishna was, this is Krishna's balayan. He was standing peacefully with a hand on his friend's shoulder. Not that Krishna was getting prepared and worried and with his armors or guards or with a helmet and everything. No. Just peacefully, lovingly, with his hands on his friend, waiting for Arishtha to attack. And as soon as Arishtha came, Krishna held his horns, tossed him away. Just as an elephant would, giant elephant would repel a small elephant which would come to attack. And Arishtha was extremely tired and exhausted. He was perspiring from that push which Krishna gave him. He took the courage, got up, charged again with great force and anger. And he was breathing really heavily now this time, and his ego was completely crushed and smashed. He hadn't experienced such a formidable strength before. And this time Krishna caught hold his horns, threw him the ground, broke his horns, kicked his body. The Bhagavatam explains as if a person squeezes a wet cloth on the ground. Krishna just kicked him. And by Krishna's lotus feet, who are softer than the butter, Krishna is kicking, his body is rolling. And the blood and passing stool and urine and his vomiting, and he passed to the kingdom of where Vidurji is the manager, in the kingdom of Yamaraj. So that was Krishna's power and Krishna's strength. And the same power in this age of Kali Yuga is there in his holy names. Chanting the holy names connect us to that divine powerhouse which Krishna has, the greatest strength. Krishna gives the strength through his holy name. When we take shelter of his holy name and shelter of Sri Balaramji and his representatives, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada's instructions, we get the strength, as very beautifully explained 2 days back by Madhavanand Priest class, that Balaramji gives us the strength to control our senses, to control our mind, to be attracted to the love of the Supreme Lord. So by chanting the holy names, following Srila Prabhupada's, Gurudev's instructions, we can get that strength which Krishna has, the same strength. There's no difference between Krishna's name and him and his qualities and his personality. So the same strength, the same power is there in his holy name. And when we follow the instructions of our spiritual masters, we can achieve. The greatest strength is needed to control the senses, not in engaging the senses. And that comes when we take shelter of the holy names, take shelter of the instructions given by Sri Balaramji. So in this way, Rupa Goswami describes various wonderful qualities. We have covered 5 of them. So we will continue later on with the other 59 qualities which are remaining. So with this, I would like to end. And we have a beautiful, very wonderful announcement to make. That is the coming in the month of September, after this festivities of Janmashtami and Radhashtami, we are having a very wonderful opportunity to express our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. Also, tomorrow is the auspicious 75th Independence Day. So we should offer our gratitude to all those who helped us, whom we know, whom we don't know, who get us the independence. We should express our heartfelt gratitude, offer prayers for their well-being, and also to Srila Prabhupada, who, as we were discussing before, 2 days back on the 13th of August, left with the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada would say, actually it was not me who went, it was Srimad Bhagavatam who went and brought about a transformation. Somebody had to go with Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore I went. So it was not that I went to the West and made this. Prabhupada said, there actually Srimad Bhagavatam which brought about a revolution. So we should, this is an opportunity on the Bhadra Purnima. So it is our great fortune to express our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, who has been the in our lives the greatest freedom fighter, who is giving us the wisdom and the knowledge to get the freedom from this material existence. So we express our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. On the coming September 5th to 11th, we will be celebrating the Bhadra Purnima Srimad Bhagavatam Mahotsav. So in all the different zones which we have, 8 zones in Bombay, we will be organizing different Srimad Bhagavatam Kathas. Each zone will have 5 Kathas, therefore there will be 40 Kathas, and there will be different Brahmacharis, different Grahasthas will be speaking. The idea is to increase the distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam for the nourishment of ourselves and introducing new people to Krishna consciousness, bring about the awareness of Srimad Bhagavatam. We know when we go out, many times devotees go out for book distribution. Many times when we say, want to give you a Srimad Bhagavatam, people say, well, Gita Bhagavat ek hi hai kya? So most people in India still do not know. It's only by the grace of Srila Prabhupada we know that there is Srimad Bhagavatam and there is Bhagavad Gita different. So this is a great opportunity for us to bring about the awareness of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so that we will be celebrating and encouraging devotees to have Srimad Bhagavatam in their own, distribute Srimad Bhagavatam as the best gift to your friends and relatives and everyone. And I will just end with a beautiful verse from the first canto, which Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto, 5th chapter, Tadvag Visargo. What is that verse number? First canto, 5th chapter, that beautiful verse. That beautiful purport which Srila Prabhupada writes in that. 10th canto, 1st chapter, 11th verse. Okay. This is the beautiful verse. We will just read the translation and the purport. Tadvag visarato janataga viplavo yasmin patishlok abhadvati api namani anantasya yashom kitaniyat shanvanti gayanti grananti sadavaha. The translation. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada is writing, the translation says, that literature which is full of description of the transcendental glories of the name, form, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution. So this is the revolution we can be a part. Some of us missed participating in the independence struggle, but this is the revolution which is still open. We can participate, bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. And this is what Srila Prabhupada very beautifully in the purport explains, that there are so many problems in this world. I'll just read, it's a long purport, but I'll just read part of the purport. That the reason is that there are so many problems Prabhupada mentions in this world. And that time India-China war was happening, this when Srila Prabhupada was writing. Prabhupada explains that the reason that they lived those days in atmosphere of God consciousness. That was previous time when those things were peaceful. Every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, simple. There was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel that time. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which there is always chance of quarrel on slightest of provocations. And then Srila Prabhupada explained, this is due not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is a propaganda to stop the glorification in names and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. So this is the call which Srila Prabhupada is asking us to do, the fight for the freedom. It is the duty of every responsible Indian who is sitting in this hall and is listening, and all of us, to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good, as well as to bring about the desire peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world, which we all aware. We are confident, this is a pure devotee of the Lord speaking this purport, we are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart. Naturally, the people will follow. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of modern politicians and leaders. And if there is a change in the heart of the leaders, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. And then Prabhupada says that we know that our honest attempt to present this literature, conveying transcendental messages for reviving God consciousness to people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere, is fraught with many difficulties. And then Prabhupada is again requesting all of us to participate in spreading this transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So please mark it in your calendar, September 5 to September 11, Bhadra Purnima, where we will be having different Bhagavad Katha programs. So we invite all of us to participate in hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, making our lives perfect. And by giving this message or assisting Srila Prabhupada in giving this message, make the world a better place to live. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. Pancha kalpatru bhyascha kripa sindhu vi evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.